بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. When Musafir was traveling through Afghanistan and he had to perform his namaz, so in the distance he seen a masjid and he went to join the jamaat. So one person that was in the jamaat pushed him away and told him, read your own namaz, because we aren't reading farz namaz, we are all shaheeds and we just reading namaz for the enjoyment of namaz. So our namaz is an optional namaz. And muftaris khalf al-mutanaffil is not permissible. We're going to read farz namaz and we're doing nafil namaz. So how can your farz namaz be correct? This musafir, he carried on and then he comes to a place, it's about nightfall and he wants to sleep. So in the distance he sees a mountain, on the mountain he sees some light. So he asked for permission to spend the night there. Man initially refused him, and when he insisted, so he says, alright, on condition that you don't open the door at night. So this person is a traveler, and not only a traveler, but he is also a very curious person. Very, very curious person. Why did the man tell me not to open the door at night? So this made him even more anxious. You know, sometimes in the old days they used to have in bioscopes, under 17 not allowed. So that person that is under 17, he wants to go and see. Had they not put that warning, then he wouldn't have thought of looking at it. But now they got that warning, they said, oh, I must go and see it, what's going on. Why aren't they allowing? Okay. So anyway, he spent the night there. Late at night when he saw everything is quiet, the chacha in the house is also fast asleep, he opened the door. But then he sees some swines coming out from a hole. All sizes, fat, small, tall, short, all sizes, they come out, they wail, they cry, for a long period they cry and wail, and then they return back to that hole. So anyway, everything ended in the morning, he explained to him what he had seen. He said, that's why I told you don't open the door, why you open the door? So now whatever happened, happened now. Now tell me what happened, what was all this all about? He says, actually these were the English that had fought against the Muslims. From the time that they died, every night without fail, they come out, they cry, they shout, and they go back into that hole of this. In Dioban, there were two brothers that had gone out for jihad with Mawlana Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Ali and Sayyid Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. They had gone out and the news had come in that they all been martyred, and Sayyid Sahib and Mawlana Ismail Sahib all have been martyred. So they cried for some time and everybody was comfortable, everybody was calmed. One day, this person whose children were martyred and shaheed, he hears a knock on the door. So, father, it was his habit to get up for tahajjud, and around that time, there was a knock on the door. So he opened the door, he saw his son that was martyred. He got a little bit shaken up. So he didn't give his father a chance to say anything. He said, "Father, let's just quickly now. Sayyid Sahib and all are coming. So, you know that new carpet that you got on the side, you left it for Eid or something, just roll the thing and put the new takiyas so that they can sit down nicely." And in that excitement, he didn't give his father a chance to say anything. So the carpets were rolled, the takiyas, whatever pillows they had, they were all placed. Sayyid Sahib came, or Ismail Shaheed Sahib came, they all relaxed. In the meanwhile, he took his son on the side and said, "I heard you were Shaheed." He said, "Yeah, I was Shaheed." "What happened? How you got Shaheed?" He took out half his skull and said, "This is how I got Shaheed." He said, "Hey, put it back, I can't see this. I can't see this." In the meanwhile, he's thinking to himself the whole night, all this thing happened, half an hour. They took permission and they left afterwards. The thing is, what I saw real, or I saw my, as I was seeing, I was dreaming. Because it's so vivid, I saw these people coming in, I saw that my son pulled out half his skull and showed it to me and placed it back in its place, tied a rumal around it so that it sticks. I've seen all these things here. I can't now reject what I see in my own eyes. The morning he sees the blood stains still on that new carpet. Now that became a masla, they have to send it to Darul Ulum Deoband now. Okay, was that blood napak or not napak? Azmawad Thami Sahib Rahmatullahi, his grandfather, he was also made Shaheed. He was going with a group of travelers in the old days, 1800s, and some gangsters got hold of them and he was Shaheed. So for a good long time, he used to come back to his widowed wife. The grandfather used to come to the granny, to the widowed wife, at some part of the night, and he would bring some fruit and some mitais and all that, present that, and go away. And he would tell her, "See, don't mention this to anybody. If you want to mention this, then I'm going to stop coming." So this thing continued for some time. Now she got scared, because people say, "Where is he getting all this thing from? Is he in contact with someone else?" So out of fear, she disclosed what had happened, that you know this was going on. Anyway, some people had witnessed all this. And the moment she disclosed this, all this thing just ended at that point. So all these experiences, they are true. There is no falsehood in it. Right? There's so many evidence of a life after death. Right? Near Gangor is one place, Shamli. This mutiny had started off there, Shamli. Right? That whole war had started at that point. And Mawlana Zamin Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullahi, he was a unique character, very unique in his ways. Very great buzzard he used to be. But the way he would carry on like an ordinary person, nobody would ever be able to pick out that he's a great buzzard. But in his, he was a very great buzzard, very, very, very great person. And at that time, that Khanqa in Thana Bhavan, that was known as Aqtab-e Thalatha. It was a house for three kutubs, three great awliya. One was Hafiz Zamin Shaheed Sahib, one was Sheikh Muhammad Sahib, and was Haji Imdadullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. And they were so friendly amongst themselves. Sometimes they would get some mitai or something, some sweets or whatever else, and it would be like a jannat scene. يَتَنَازَعُونَ فِيهَا كَأَسًا لَا لَغْوٌ فِيهَا وَلَا تَأْثِيمٌ. Now, all three big buzrugs, imagine all three big buzrugs, right? But they would amuse themselves now. If they, everybody just kept quiet and sat one corner and tight-lipped, pulled up their face, so their life would have become difficult. So sometimes they would amuse themselves. So one buzrug got that plate of mitai and he's going away, he's moving away with it. So the next one is chasing him. Then the other one is grabbing it, the third one is chasing him. So they would amuse themselves in that way. It doesn't mean that if you become a buzrug now, you can't amuse yourself, you can't cheer yourself up. In fact, they have got within them much more humor than what we have got. They may cry more to Allah Ta'ala, but within them they've got more humor as well. It's not that they would run anybody down or disgrace anybody or embarrass anybody, but within themselves, people of understanding, etc., they will have some type of humor as well. So, someone would come to the Khanqa, and when they would come to the Khanqa, to Hafiz Zamin Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah used to be around the entrance of the Khanqa. India, some of the masjids are built and designed differently. Sometimes, just with the masjid, there is a small room, 3-4 rooms. So, some pious people are allowed to occupy those rooms. Like in the old days, 1970s, when we went for Hajj. So at that time, in the basement of the haram, people were given some rooms. Like there was a very pious person or an alim or something, so they were given some rooms in the basement. After that incident had taken place in 79, then they had taken all those rooms away. So people are given some rooms. The Hafiz Zamin Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah used to be at the entrance. So he would say, if anybody is coming in, he says, see, you came in to ask one masla, then there is Maulana Sheikh Muhammad Saab, go to him, he's a Maulana, he will teach you, he will tell you all the maslas and fatwas, whatever. And you came to take bayat and all that, then you go to Hadi Saab Rahmatullah, because Hadi Saab Rahmatullah is a very big buzruk, you go to him. Now, he's also a big buzruk, he can also make bayat. All can make bayat. But see how they conduct themselves, like he's nothing, insignificant, go to him and take bayat at his hands. So if you want to came to take bayat, you go to his hand, go to him. And if you want to pull some hookah, then sit with me, enjoy some hookah. Now, he won't take hookah really, just but to entertain some of the guests that will come. They've got the habit to take hookah and all that. So he said, all right, take some hookah here. So concerning themselves, they won't think much about them. Very, very reluctantly, someone is forcing, insisting, eventually, he will accept someone for bayat. One person took bayat at his hand. So, a few days later, now, when I put him on to zikr, and not a very strong zikr, mild zikr, but the zikr, etc., has an effect. It has such an effect that you become a little bit disinterested in dunya. You will do your work, what is necessary, you will do. You will carry on. But you don't show that type of interest in the world that you showed before. Before, like you're living for it. It's real. What's going to happen tomorrow? Anxiety. And now you're doing the work, but your interests are more in the hereafter and less in this world. The world is just now, this one thing I have to do, then let me just complete this as well. Like how you go to the toilet. One thing I have to do now, let me just do it. To go make number one, number two. All these things have to be done. But he doesn't show that level of interest. Now that's a sign where Allah Ta'ala has accepted a person. Okay, he is not interested as others are interested. Others have they take a lot of pride in dunya affairs, dunya matters, in their home, doing it up, doing the business, progressing the business from one level to the other level. So they don't have an interest in that. Because their hearts are so deep in the love of Allah Ta'ala and His remembrance. And the fact that what is decreed for them, they will get. Sooner or later they will get. So they won't complain to anybody. It's not that you have moved away and you begin to complain or you begin to beg for favors from others. Now that is not the real seeker of Allah Ta'ala. The real seeker of Allah Ta'ala, if he's moved away, then he doesn't ask for anything from anybody, nor is he interested in other people's wealth, and nor does he complain about his lot. Okay, this is like this and this. He's too happy in the condition that he is. He's very content, very happy, and really he's enjoying something what others are not enjoying. So that inner enjoyment Allah Ta'ala gives him, because he's absorbed his mind in Allah Ta'ala. You absorb your mind in the material, right? The material can provide, and it can provide to a certain point. But if you absorb your mind in Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala is unlimited. What He'll give you is far, far beyond. You put yourself in the material. Material is limited. Right? When it's limited, it'll give you what it can give. Beyond that, it can't give you. And when you put your mind into Allah Ta'ala, then He is unlimited. There is no limits to His treasures. So He'll give you, and He'll give you, and give you. And you'll feel such a level of satisfaction. Such a level of happiness you'll feel within. Right? So this youngster, he linked up with Hafiz Zamin Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. And he became a little bit disinterested. So his father came and complained to Hafiz Zamin Sahib, okay, what have you done with my son? Tune mere bache ko bigar diya, you spoiled him. So Hafiz Zamin Sahib said, you know what? Hame to bigarna hi aate hai. Akhir kisi na hame bhi bigara hai. We only know how to spoil. And someone else also spoiled us, did the same thing to us. So that's the only thing that we know. So, but nobody asked him to come to me. Why did he come and insist to come to me? He came to me, now he's showing a disinterest. So that's his problem. So this Hafiz Zamin Sahib Rahmatullahi, he would very reluctantly accept anybody for bayat. And then this jihad came about, Shamli. The jihad came about. And at that time, then he started accepting people for bayat. A little bit more openly. He said, whoever wants to join, can join up. And he says, you see these walls here, and the parapets, you see this hoor is all standing up. And they all proposing for people. They're standing there, see this one here, that one. You would see it. They're all proposing. Is there anybody interested? And then when he had to go, he put on new clothes, absolutely new clothes, new shoes, new amama, and he went. Right? And he made a bequest to Mawla Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi. Okay, you see, I'm going and you are also with. And perhaps I will be martyred in this. So I request you that when you see my body, and I'm shot or I'm killed, then you take my body, and you do the rest of it. Whatever kafan, dafan, whatever you need to do, you need to do. You must take care of my body. So the whole jihad had started. When it started, as he had predicted, he was shot. Now there was still life in the body, so Mawla Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi carried him. Carried him on his shoulders, brought him to the nearby masjid, kept his head on his lap, and kept reading until he passed away. So they say that that special nisbat and that special favors and bounties that Hafiz Zamin Sahib had from Allah Ta'ala, that moved on to Mawla Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Anyway, this was Hafiz Zamin Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. After his death, someone had seen him. And as though there's a beautiful, beautiful palace in Jannat, and he's in a very, very high, lofty mansion. He's there. And out of curiosity, now the person asked him, "By that hookah story, anything happened there?" So he said, "Ah, uska kuch sawal aaya, lekin uski taraf dhyan nahi diya gaya. It came up, but it was just shelved. It came up, but it was just shelved, just set aside." So there was an Arab that was visiting Shamli, and he happened to cross upon this graveyard of Mawla Hafiz Zamin Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So he left the grave and he started laughing. He said, "Hey, what's wrong? The inmate of this graveyard is a very humorous person." He said, "Why, what happened?" He said, "Jao, jao, Fatiha to murdo ke par padte hai. You come to read Fatiha here, and Fatiha is read upon the dead." So what he was alluding, that I am a Shaheed and a Shaheed is alive. What's wrong with you? I am a Shaheed, so Shaheed is alive. Fatiha you read upon the dead, not upon the living. What are you reading Fatiha upon me now? Okay. So these are some of the experiences that people have about Shaheeds, about people that have given their lives in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Quran Sharif truly says, that don't even call them dead. Bal ahya, they are alive. Bal ahya'u walakin la tash'urun. You can't perceive their life, but they are all alive. my Ustad Abdul Rahman Sad Rahmatullah Ali, Allah Allah fill his grave with Noor. So he used, when he was in Medina Munawara for that ziyarat, so he used to go to Quba and come back on foot. Nabi Sam also went Mashiyan wa Rakiban, both on foot and on mount. He went to Quba and used to come back. So he's returning from Quba and he's saying one of his satis, my ustad is looking on the right and then he's looking on the left. And he says, hey, but Hazrat Hamza is so identical to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hazrat Hamza is so identical to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Both us, so there's so much of similarities between the both. He's the uncle, obviously, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu, of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he's actually seeing them in life. So as we put our minds in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we absorb our love is absorbed in that, right? Then another realm opens up for us. Now as we sit here, then we only see the physical, right? We only see the physical, we can't see anything beyond this. Then there is a point where you are not at all interested in the physical. Whether the temptations, woman, food, properties, investments, all that, that doesn't interest you. Right? As you move on and you progress, and this also happens that you don't have that interest. You don't allow your mind to wander around these things. So when your mind doesn't wander around these things, then Allah Ta'ala opens up a window to that realm. The hereafter, it opens up. Now, don't become anxious to see all these things, please. For whoever Allah Pak wants to open, he opens up. It's not a general rule that everybody will see it, and it is not a rule that nobody will see it. There will be some that will see it. But seeing this doesn't mean that you have reached somewhere. Sometimes it happens that you see something, and you feel, no, I'm to pahunch gaye, we are already there, we are already there now. Mawlana Yusuf Murtala Sahib from London, his mother passed away some 3-4 years ago. So towards the end of her life, she was residing in Stanger. We went to the house when she passed away, about 93-92 her age was. And Mawlana was explaining that his mother went to visit some sick woman in Stanger. They went to visit, and on the return, went to visit this woman, and the return. Right. On the return, the mother is saying her daughter, hey, but look at this garden here, and look at the fruit trees this side, and you saw this rose tree, and you saw that. I said, Ma, you're dreaming. You know, this is so-and-so street in Stanger, this is that street. I said, don't play now, I'm showing you. See this garden here, and see these trees here, and see these fruits here. You saw something like this before. You saw this stream like this before. So anyway, what she saw was a reality. Because a person who goes and visits a sikh, right, then one of the rewards is that he is in the garden of Jannat. He is in the garden of Jannat. So Allah Pak made her see the reward for what she was doing. She went to visit a sikh for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, and she's returning. So she actually saw her reward. You see. So at times it happens that Allah Ta'ala opens this reward. He opens as though he's opened a window, and you can peep into that realm, which is normally not visible to people. But Allah Pak opens it to some people. Now, what they see is true. Sometimes, right, this type of incidents, this type of experiences, you call it kashf, right? In other words, it's not ilm-e-ghayb. Ilm-e-ghayb is something else. Ilm-e-ghayb is something that is exclusive to Allah Ta'ala, right? When you define ilm-e-ghayb, then it is exclusive with Allah Ta'ala, because ilm-e-ghayb is that which is eternally with someone. It is eternally with someone. You've got knowledge, but the knowledge is eternally with you. like you are, then the knowledge is with you. It's not that you came up and thereafter the knowledge was passed to you. That is not ilm ghaib. Right? So ilm ghaib is that which is eternal. If you are like your eyes are, and they were with you all the time, so this knowledge is with you all the time. So then this ilm ghaib is exclusive with Allah Ta'ala. Because it, like Allah Ta'ala exists, then that knowledge also exists with him. It wasn't that Allah Ta'ala was there, and thereafter this knowledge had come up to him. No, it wasn't like that. Like he is, like his being is eternal, then that knowledge of his is also eternal. There wasn't a beginning to that. So this is called ilm ghaib, right? Now, sometimes you find that some of these awliya, pious people, etc., Allah Ta'ala blesses them with certain things that are not visible. Right? So that is called kashf. As though Allah Ta'ala just tore the veil for you to see that this is what's going on or this is what will happen. So it was just like a veil that was made visible to you. Now, Allah Ta'ala gives it to whoever He wants. In 92, I had gone to Madras, right? 92, that's about 20 years ago. Huh? That's when Hazrat Ji Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah passed away. So I had gone to Madras. Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah was there in those days that Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah passed away. He was there. Now, I spent my days there about 2 weeks in Madras and I was returning back home. And I was anxious to go for Umrah. So I tried to apply for visa. Nobody's giving visa. All the contacts, whoever we knew, asked everybody at the embassy to try and fix some type of a visa so that you could go for Umrah. Nothing is working. It's all closed. You can't go. You go. You can't get it from here. Anyway, when I totally failed, then I went to Musa Ibn Tariq. I wish to make Umrah, make dua for me. So his words were, "Tum bhi apna visa le lo aur hamare visa ko bhi banwa do." What? Take your Umrah visa, take your Umrah visa, and make ours as well. I was talking some other language at that time. That language I didn't know. Anyway, I'm thinking, hey, I'm so serious about it, and this man is joking with me. I'm failing all around, and this is how he's joking with me. He just completed his awabin maghrib namaz and I went to request. He said, "Apna bhi le lo, aur hamara bhi bana do. You take your visa also and then you go and make ours as well." Anyway, be it as it may, my ticket was worked out through Saudi Arabia and back home. So I was in transit. I went to that immigrations and I think within about 10 or 15 minutes I was out. They gave me 1 month visa. 1 month visa they gave me. I think it was the quickest visa I ever got. 10 or 15 minutes. Not very clear, but I think not more than 15 minutes. I was out, finished. 1 month visa they get. Whereas I only need about 3-4 days because I was returning home and Rura said, "All right, 2 days, 2-3 days in Makkah, 2-3 days in Medina Munawwara." And in 3 weeks, Mufti Sahib was already in Umrah. He was already in Umrah. So that's what he meant, that apna bhi le lo aur hamara bhi bana do. You take yours and make ours as well. Now, Allah Ta'ala sometimes opens out these type of things to these people, right? So this is called kashf, right? That Allah Ta'ala just tore out that veil for them to see this. And they've seen it, you see. He just tore the veil and they saw what others did not see, and they saw it. See. So now, this happens, many a times it happens, but it isn't something to be passionate about, or it isn't something where you can say it's a criteria for piety, for righteousness and virtue. So therefore you don't aspire for it. It happens, one of things. Sometimes this type of kashf, etc., happens to non-Muslims as well. They also see certain things. One yogi was doing yogism, right? In his own town. Like they normally sit in the Himalayas to meditate, right? He was meditating. He's meditating and meditating and meditating and he came up to Gangor, in the time of Al-Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And he requested Mawlana that give me that certain zikr and accept me for bayat. So Mawlana told him, see, the precondition for bayat is Islam. Without Islam, I can't admit you. Anyway, someone met him afterwards and they asked him, but what made you so anxious to come to Mawlana and to take bayat at his hands? You know, you're very anxious. You're so far, over 1,000 kilometers, you came right all the way here to take bayat at his hands. So what makes you so excited and so anxious to come here and for bayat and ask for zikr, etc.? He says, no. See, I was sitting there and I looked. When I looked, I saw a light from the earth reaching up the heavens. So I went in the direction of that light. When I went in the direction of the light, I saw it come right till Gango. So therefore I requested this to Mawlana. And Mawlana refused me, and Mawlana refused him, because Mawlana says, if these people are after lights and all that, then that light and all that is a secondary thing. The primary thing is Islam. Right. With that light, you can't go to Jannat. The primary thing to get into Jannat is Islam. This thing is like a bonus. By the way, all right, as a perk, we throw this as well into the package, right? But that was not the primary thing. The primary thing is Islam. Right. This morning, Sari Tam, while I was explaining me, that there is a group of Hindus, they call them the Jains, right? Very disciplined, extremely disciplined. They don't eat any meat, but the head doesn't wear clothing at all. He's in a constant state of meditation. According to him, now he's the head, the sadhu, like he's the head of them. But he doesn't wear any clothes. So then I asked Mawlana, but why don't they wear clothes? And he asked their head, that why doesn't he wear clothes? So he said, no, the secret is this, that we are so deeply absorbed in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala that we don't have the time to change clothes. Now, wearing clothes will get dirty to go and wash it and put it on again. So much of time will be utilized. Right? So we don't want to get off the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. So I asked Mawlana two things. I asked him, do they have women sadhus? I said, yes, they have women sadhus also. So women sadhus, do they wear clothes? So yeah, they do wear clothes. So how they find the time? If the male can't find the time, where do the woman find the time? Right? And the second thing I told him is, the greater thing is not just remembrance. Right? Remembrance is very great, right? Wala dhikrullahi akbar. But the greater thing is to subject yourself and surrender yourself. If you don't surrender yourself, you don't subject yourself completely, and you just remember Allah Ta'ala, that is insufficient. Now, person comes, and zawar time, he begins to read namaz. So he's absorbed in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. But what will you say? What will you say? That remembrance has to be conforming to certain requirements. If it's conforming to that requirements, then that remembrance is acceptable. But if it's not conforming to those requirements, that is not acceptable. So the same, if this is going to get involved in remembrance, not conforming to any type of requirements, obviously it's going to be wrong. Like I said, they're discriminating male and a female. The male can go naked, it's all right, but the female must dress. So what's the reason for this type of discrimination? That he only is allowed to go without any clothing. And she must have some clothing on. So what's the reason? So I explained that after. See, this is all stupidity. When you move away from Islam, any person that moves away from Islam and tries to design his own program, then that program will be flawed. There must be some flaw in that program. Some way or the other, there must be some flaw. It may show you some light, some vision, certain things you may see. There's no two ways that you will not see. You will see these things. By the way, some of these sadhus and all that, you go and ask them, then some of them read about 50,000 Durood Sharif every day. This is now, I'm telling you personal, what they have disclosed to us, that they read 50,000 Durood Sharif every day. Right? But yet they are rejected, because the criteria was Islam. they could see that they read Durood Sharif and they get a certain inspiration. They get a certain light. Right? So that light will come. You say La ilaha illallah, you'll get a certain light. You'll get a certain feeling. But that feeling is subject to your conforming to the principle. The principle is Islam. You come on that. That's the benchmark. Without that benchmark, then all this thing is not acceptable. It's all in suspense. You come in, now everything is accepted. But you don't come into Islam and you do all these things, you'll get some feelings. Feelings, spiritual lights, you'll see certain things. Sometimes to the extent that you will see malaika, farishtas also, you see. Not only this, but you can see farishtas also. Right? But that is not the benchmark. You will not get any type of excess. So the only way that you can gain that is to conform. You conform to Islamic requirements, then you say, now all these things are in place, everything is working out for you. Otherwise, it is just a cinema that you've seen. Some bioscope, some film that you've seen, that's all. It's just an experience, an excitement. You saw it, that's the end of it. So you didn't progress at all in any respect. Allah.